So the prophets of Baal have had their chance to do their thing, and now it's time for Elijah to step up, and we come to verse 30 of chapter 18 of the book of 1 Kings, and we see now he's stepping up to the plate. It said this, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about that altar as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, 'Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. And he said, 'Do it a third time.' And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water." So the first thing that he does is he rebuilds the altar of the Lord, which had been destroyed during their time of idolatry in the land of Israel. In fact, he avoided all contact with the altar that had been dedicated to and associated with the idol Baal. If the true fire of heaven from the true God of heaven was to prove to all that Jehovah was the one true God, then an altar built in the name of the Lord needed to be built to receive that fire. So using 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, Elijah built an altar uniquely for the glory of God. Notice that Elijah tells the people to fill 4 pitchers with water. And some of the people that you will read believe that the term translated pitcher should be barrels. Either way, it was them using several sizable containers of water to soak that rebuilt altar of God. Now, there are critics of the Bible that have a field day with the verse because it says, if there was such a drought in the land, where would they get this water? What they don't take into account is that Mount Carmel is not that far from the Mediterranean Sea, and there's plenty of water there. The people just couldn't drink it. But even salt water would do a good job of dampening the wood. So they probably trekked down the mountain, got the water, then climbed back up and dumped it on the altar. And they made that trip 3 times, according to those instructions of Elijah, until the wood and the offering is soaked, and there's enough water left over to fill the trench around the altar. He's going to prove his point. Good verses 36 and 37. He says, "And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.'" So his prayer is a simple one, but it's a prayer of faith. There's no pleading, there's no screaming, there's no shouting, there's no stupid dancing, there's no empty repetition said of words over and over and over. He's just plainly speaking and requesting that God would prove that he alone is the Lord. That's a big contrast. And the response is immediate. Look at this response. Verse 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up that water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" You see, God answered Elijah's prayer. Not only brought fire, but far more importantly, it turned the hearts of the people back to God. It also rid the land of the prophets of Baal. Good verse 40. "And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.' And they seized them And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. That's huge. Well, I'm telling you, what would you do? I mean, some people don't have a problem with this, but what would you do, or what would you think of a doctor who found this cancerous cell in your stomach and said, I think we better remove some of those cells. Or why don't we do a little minor surgery? No, a good doctor would see that and he'd say, we've got to get all of them right now. So that's not extreme. That's what needs to be done. That's smart. And this prophets of Baal were immoral, hostile, and they're anti-God. And they had added a malignancy to the people in that day. Well, he goes on and he says even more, or he does even more. We get to the point where we see something pretty amazing in the life of Elijah. We see him responding in such a way that God is very much pleased. Verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of rushing of rain. And so Elijah must have heard something. He goes, you can celebrate now, Ahab. The drought is over. And there's a sound. And he's probably hearing the sound of what Lord wants to accomplish in this land in this day. Look at verses 42 through 44. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And at the seventh time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. So he goes up to Mount Carmel. He humbles himself. And he answers. He gets an answer from the Lord. I love this from 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And we see how he's persistent and how he's waiting on the Lord, and he's trusting the Lord. And finally, God answers. Look at these last two verses here in this chapter. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind. The heavens grew black, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab is racing in his chariot across land, trying to outrun the storm. He hasn't seen rain for so long. He doesn't know whether to. He doesn't know what to do. And then along comes Elijah, running behind him, gaining on him, and outruns him all the way to Jezreel, about 13 miles on foot. You talk about miraculous. The Bible says this in James chapter 5. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain in the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. James 5, 16 through 18. This is the God that you and I serve. Let's believe him. Let's trust him. Let's look to him.